This is Steve Sherlock with another internet radio show, or podcast, number 61-1 in the series for Franklin Matters. This is a special recording from the Finance Committee meeting on Tuesday, March 23rd. It was held in the training room on the third floor of the municipal building. The school committee meeting was being held in the council chambers at the same time, so there was no planned cable video production. I did manage to broadcast the video and record that. However, as I viewed it after the meeting, I realized that the audio feed was silent. It doesn't do much good for folks like you to sit and watch about an hour of folks sitting around the table and not being able to hear what they're saying. I'll apologize for that. I missed a setting somewhere. Fortunately, I did have a separate audio recording that captured the meeting successfully, and I draw on that to share the full meeting here with you. I'll split the meeting into four sections. The first section to cover the opening and the discussion around the first appropriation for the Board of Assessors. The second session to cover the Parmenter solar panel project. The third to cover the capital budget, which itself resulted in two votes, one for just over $2 million for the overall capital needs of the town, and the second to set aside $100,000 into a fund to accrue for an eventual replacement of a new fire engine. The fourth and final section will cover the discussion on the overall FY 2011 budget schedule, additional questions from committee members, and then the closing of the meeting itself.
The approval of minutes, February 2nd, 2010. Those sent out the minutes a couple times. Everybody got those? Any changes? Any more changes? Thank you for making those changes. Any discussion on the minutes? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion to approve the minutes of
February 2nd. Motion made and seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Excellent. Was that?
Yeah.
Okay. Jeff, we're on to appropriations. Do you have a specific order you want to go to tonight?
Well, Kevin's here at the assessors, so I thought if we could. There's a couple memos from them. They're looking to use overlay. They released some overlay surplus, and they have some work that needs to be done in order to continue the reval. And so Kevin can. They're looking for 19.2 and 12,000. And he can give you an explanation.
Great. Yep.
This is Kevin Doyle, our chief assessor.
Nice to meet you all. Fiscal 2011 is our triennial, every third year is the certification of the revaluation program through the Department of Revenue. The interim years, we have to report to them, but they don't usually come on site for an audit, which is what they'll do this summer and fall. There are three really major components. There's residential property, which is the majority of the properties. There's commercial and industrial property, and there's personal property, which is the business assets, essentially. The residential is always been done in-house for several, let's see, probably 8 years or so. We've been, maybe nine, having the personal property done by an outside firm. That specializes in personal property collection and valuation. So it's kind of a specialized area. So this company that we've had does about 100, at least 100 communities in Massachusetts and probably upwards of 150 in southern New England. So they keep up to date with all of the various items that are used throughout industry. We've always gained more in new growth, identified and valued, and been allowed, had allowable new growth in excess. In other words, the revenue resulting from the annual update of personal property has always more than paid for itself. So we will continue with that, and the in-house staff can continue to focus its efforts on other matters. The normal annual update amount is $10,000, which we have in our budget for in the current year. We need to supplement that in order to complete the work timely for the revaluation with an additional $12,000 because of the requirements of the Department of Revenue going forward. Nothing's getting simpler with the Department of Revenue. They're getting more exacting in every area as we go on. But the other area is commercial and industrial, which also includes apartments, four or more units, and mixed-use properties, which is like an office and a house or a store and a house, something like that, on the same parcel. These kinds of properties, we've always had, to a lesser or greater extent, some assistance in the valuation of these in the triennial cycle for the DOR certification. Two cycles back, we spent about $40,000 in this effort. That was when we were bringing our program online with the current system that we have. So there was quite a bit more involved that year. One cycle ago, in fiscal 2008, had a little bit less input, and I was a little bit more involved. But with the requirements of the Department of Revenue, both for commercial and industrial as well as for residential property, I need to focus more time on the residential valuations. There's been dramatic changes, of course, in many areas in residential, and commercial industrial as well has changed over the last 3 years. So before, about half of what we spent in fiscal 05, we can go forward with an update for the fiscal 11 program. And the amount is $19,200, and this will be, except for the maintenance of data, which we continue to do in-house, all of the valuation schedules and the approvals through from the Department of Revenue are all coming through the consultants for the this update. We would work very closely with them, of course, and monitor their work throughout. I guess I'll leave it open to any particular questions.
Great. Any questions for Kevin?
I have a question.
Please.
I'm new here, so you have to excuse me.
Okay.
This says SOSA funds overlay surplus. What is that?
Sure.
Every year when we set the tax rate, we have an account that is somewhere usually between $500,000 and $600,000, and it depends. And that money is used to pay for exemptions. So if you're a widow or a veteran or blind, there's a statutory ways that you can get a property tax break. And then there's money set aside if you file for an abatement. Say you think your house is overassessed, and you file an abatement, and the assessor says, you're right, you know what, your house is worth $10,000 less. The town gives you the money back once you go through that process. So by DOR regulations, we have to set aside this big chunk of money, of which some years a lot gets used, some years less gets used. But we never know, because you set the tax rate in December or November, and you have to February to file for an abatement. So once the fiscal year is closed out, and once all of the pending or potential abatements are resolved, because some of them end up in court, they take 2 or 3 years, and the assessors have to go to the appellate tax board. Once the assessors are assured that there is no more liability against that account, they can vote to turn that over to the town into what's called the overlay surplus. So it goes from overlay to overlay surplus. Once they vote that, then the town can appropriate it for any purpose for it wants. In this case, the assessors have said, yes, there's funds left over, but we'd like to get those funds back. Normally, they would go to capital or other unforeseen, and they will review shortly whether they can release more overlay surplus. So it's some years none gets released, and then they'll release some. It's not really secular, because it really depends on the individual. If a large property owner, that is worth millions and millions of dollars, files for an abatement, there could be big implications. You know, typically on a small home, you know, it's $3,000. You know, the value changes $1,000, that's $13 to the town. So usually the exposure is really on the commercial industrial versus the residential, and that's why they want to spend the money, you know, a big chunk of this on commercial industrial to make sure they get the values right so we don't end up getting lots of lawsuits. Is that a reasonable explanation?
Yes.
Is that understandable?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you have a balance for that overlay surplus?
Well, it goes back many years.
The surplus right now, I think, is just the 40,000.
Just the 40,000.
That's all that's been released.
But right. But what they'll do is, again, you know, sometimes overlay surplus goes back 3, 4, 5 years because things linger on, mm-hmm. or people don't pay their personal property tax, so they owe. So the town's owed 20,000, so we keep 20,000 over here as a. Otherwise we'd be in the hole, which we are right. for some personal property taxes back 10 or 15 years yep. that right. we're never going to collect, so we have to go through this process to get it resolved by the Commonwealth.
There has to be a place to balance it out. And
right.
Yeah, there's either pending challenges or there may be circumstances in which we have to have a reserve for accounts receivable, thing right. outstanding monies.
Right.
Yeah.
Thanks for asking. We're here a long time.
Well,
no, but we make assumptions, and we shouldn't, because we're new places.
Okay, thank you.
So don't be shy.
Other questions?
I'm just curious, what constitutes personal property accounts? Like, I'm reading through this, and it says there's 650 existing accounts, 175 new.
Sure. Just in general, with some examples,
mm-hmm.
If you had a sole proprietorship of, you know, an individual owned a business or a partnership, everything that wasn't the real estate is personal property, and it was all taxable. For a corporation, for example, they're not taxable locally for their inventory or their furniture and fixtures. There's some of the equipment that they are. So we have to. This information has to be gathered, cognizant of the type of business it is, and also. Relative to what the general value is.
So if you own a pizza joint by yourself and there's ovens and that's personal property.
$2,000
an example.
Yeah, barbershop, but on the small end.
Right.
And then of course on the high end would be like the public utilities. And a couple of years ago, poles and wires on the public ways was decided that they should be taxable.
Right.
And now there's legislation to clarify that and. As a matter of law.
So with the economy, with everything changing, so are we saying that this would, again, we said 650 existing accounts and 175 new and certain existing accounts, how are those numbers compared to 3 years ago? Is it about the same, or we don't know, or would it be much less? I mean, when he says it has, because the climate has changed, shall we say, so much since this was done 3 years ago,
right.
Might this be less, or...
This information is maintained annually.
Okay.
It's gathered annually, so it's an ongoing thing. So that we have a track record with them. I suppose there's not a lot coming in, but there are some replacements. People go out and they're, not every space remains vacant. They've networked with various sources, business journals and all that, to keep track of who's going in. And they have also notification, obviously, suspicions about who's going out. We also, our own folks have kept track of, we keep our own list internally around the year, and then when they're ready to start collecting for the new assessment date, for January 1st, 2010 in this case, we give them a list and say, you check these out, something more is going on here, or this account that's left. Let's see if there's anything that's been gone in yet since we've been out. They replaced it.
So, Kevin, I've got a couple questions. So I guess one is this extra money. I mean, is this something that we need to better budget every third year, or is it something that through cost reductions in your office you need more help, or is it just additional Massachusetts requirements? I mean, why this kind of rise money, I guess?
Some of all those, I think. The requirements certainly, it's not getting any simpler to do the work. And we felt that in getting a more regional perspective from folks that are working hands-on with this information over, you know, a period of years, and they're working in many communities up and down 495, that will give us some additional information that we may be somewhat lacking in just locally. And some of the information that's provided to us, just like it's provided to other cities and towns, is confidential. So they can draw from their experience and go to public resources, but they really know where to look, where we wouldn't be able to get a lot of the information directly, and we wouldn't know perhaps where it might be taking place all the time, you know, where the sales or the rental market might be particularly good or bad, but you know, some experiences that they may be drawing from. I think we're kind of settling into what we're going to need in the future. Probably have a little bit more opportunity now going forward to kind of build us into an expected future, maybe budget adjustments.
Of course, we'll still ask the question every third year, why is that pumped up?
I mean, and there's no one here that's been around, but if you go back we used to outsource this entire reval for about $300,000 every 3 years. They used to have different cycles, and what we decided is we added an extra assessor, brought that person on board to try to do 95% of this in-house. We've always hired someone to do personal property, because they have an expertise and the network and the connection. And as Kevin said, is the cost is always, the revenue they produce has always exceeded the cost we've invested each time we've done that. And the rest is, you know, a lot of, as far as the industrial commercial is, A, it's a completely changed world, and DOI is asking for more and more. I mean, they hold us up sometimes on the most minute detail of how you get to this valuation. So, so we have to step up to the plate. So I think in the future we'll still be coming back and looking for personal property funds on a rotating basis.
Some of us have been around long enough to remember three.
I understand that, but
yeah. Agreed. Any other questions?
Just one more. You might have said this. Did you use Patriot Properties last time?
No, actually.
No, they're separate.
Commercial industrial.
Right.
We had a supplementary contract with RRC, which was the company that's doing our personal property.
Right.
The difference here is, there's a couple of things. One is that this is bringing the whole process through from start to finish. I think there's a time savings here, which is extremely valuable.
Which Patriot is offering.
I'm going to need to spend more time in this cycle, it's obvious, on the residential than in the past cycle. And Patriot will, do the whole thing from start to finish. Not only that, but they are certainly the most qualified to work in the context of their own software. And it's also, there's some legal implications, too, that they may not be able, someone else might not be able to really work within deep within the software program. They have so certainly fully able to use the software to its maximum benefit. So those are a couple of things in there.
Anything further? Okay, please.
Do you see any further challenges from the IRS in terms of what the requirements are going to be going forward?
From the Department of Revenue, Mass Department of Revenue, yeah. They have their first kickoff meeting, and I'm going to it. It will be in Boston on April 8th. I've met once with our supervisor from the local assessment, the person that will be actually the interim monitor here between us and Boston. There's just more, looking at more and more things each year. And so it's not so much that we can't accomplish those things, it's just that there's a lot of reporting and a lot of checks and balances, and they have to reach a comfort level, because if something comes through and taxpayer calls them directly, then they don't want to be blindsided by the whole thing. So we appreciate their perspective, because, you know, we might overlook something, but, you know, we've been doing very well. and I don't expect that. But there's less data now, too, as you can understand, less, fewer valid real estate transactions to work with. So statistically, it gets a little more challenging with each of the last passing 3 years. So, you know, just a lot more analysis and looking at things a few different ways, additional ways every cycle.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anything else? No, I'll take the motion. What's that?
19-2, and then another 12.
Make a motion to approve the request for funds for the Board of Assessors of $19,200 for the triennial certification and for the 12th
round
for the Board of Assessors also.
Personal property value.
Personal property value.
I second that.
Motion made and seconded. Further discussion? None of those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you very much.
For a full schedule of Franklin meetings, please visit the town website, and a link will be in the show notes. As I close this session this week, let me remind you that if you like what I'm doing here, please tell your neighbors and friends. If you don't like something, please tell me. Thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.blogspot.com. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is entitled En Esta Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.